And Kathy Dawes now, along with Dr. Stephen Higgs, Biosecurity Research Institute Director. And so excited because I don't very often get you on for this length of time. And I know we have all kinds of things we can talk about today. 537-1350. If you want to enter into the discussion, or toll free 866-776-1350. In addition to being the BRI Institute Director, I kind of consider you an international expert on Zika and chikungunya and a number of other things I know we've talked about through the years, Stephen. But the Blue Ribbon Panel, I had an opportunity to sit in on that at the Kansas State University Student Union, and I just so happened to be able to sit in on the portion that you were involved with. And what a fascinating discussion and hearing, and you got a chance to voice a few things, and maybe just some of the highlights of what that was all about and what you came away from it with.
Right, well, thank you, Kathy. Always a privilege to be here. I think you say I'm an expert in too many things, you know, but you're always kind. Having Tom Daschle here to discuss defense of the United States, I mean, an international defense as well, against the potential for agro-terrorism in particular was very exciting. And what you didn't get to do was to do the BRI tour, which Senator Daschle and other members of the group were able to do the day before. So, you know, a lot of people who talk about the type of research that we do and look at rules and regulations and safety and everything often have not been in the type of facility that we have here on campus. So they're always thrilled to do that, going through the security, going through the routines of getting into high containment facilities like the Biosecurity Research Institute at Pat Roberts Hall. It's exciting for them, and it's exciting for us to show them what we can do. And I don't know the last time you've been there, but you can't help but go through that facility, K-State's facility, and be impressed.
I'm overdue. It's been just a few years. I just pulled up the article that I wrote from when I actually attended this. I have a picture of you sitting there in front of the panel and saying your couple of things. And it was just really fascinating to hear some of the different folks. And I know, in addition to Tom Daschle, I think it's Kenneth Weinstein. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He also had some interesting things to say. And as you said, when they got a chance to do the tour, any particular questions that came out during that? And I'm sure during the hearing they went into more depth with that also.
Yep. Just realizing the amount of training that anybody that goes into those facilities has to go through is always fascinating for them. I mean, we were very fortunate that visit was timed when we had the livestock area of the Biosecurity Research Institute down for routine annual maintenance. So that meant that we were able to take them in without them having to take all their clothes off and, you know, shower out and everything, which takes a while. But even when we're closed down, they had to do some training in order to meet the requirements. So they immediately realized, oh, this is what you do here is pretty serious. But the safety and security is important, obviously. So we were able to take them into that area that was closed down for maintenance, going through all the doors, seeing those noisy gaskets which inflate as you go through, and having, you know, one door always talking to another door so that no doors are open at the same time. These sort of facilities are so exciting to work.
A lot of different safeguards. Yeah. Well, and I'm looking back over the article and kind of brought back some memories of some of the discussion that was involved. And I know I have quoted you as telling the group NBATH so much more than Plum Island, adding substantially a new capability to the United States that we, quote, so desperately need. Mm-hmm. And I know also responding to the four representatives on better coordination of different facilities, possible duplication, saying some duplication's not a bad thing, as you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. So.
Yes, I did say that, didn't
and,
I?
And what I really thought was interesting, and I appreciated you for this, and they took it very kindly, you actually asked them a question. You kind of turned the tables just a little bit on them and asked what action might be taken. And I know they've come up with some recommendations, quite a few, in fact, already.
Mm-hmm.
But their
That's
response
right.
to that is they're hoping more action, other than just talk, right?
That's certainly what we hope for. You know, they've... That very distinguished group, who obviously did a lot of interviews, a lot of discussions with true experts in this area, basically came up with the realization that we are not well prepared. We have no real national strategic plan if something like this happened, if an agro-defense sort of attack happened. And we don't have consistent funding. Those are pretty significant shortcomings. And they came up with many recommendations, but as I said, they need to translate the recommendations into action. So we would like to see that, and we'd like to be part of that.
In fact, I think you mentioned to them the example of West Nile Research. I think you said something about 14 students having 60 to 70 publications, and they were really going to town on this, and then the funding just kind of disappeared.
That's right. When West Nile came in, the Center for Disease Control got a very substantial grant to develop training, because our expertise in mosquito-transmitted diseases had eroded over the years. You know, people weren't being trained, they weren't being recruited, there were no jobs. And so in a previous job, I was director of one of the training programs, one of five, I think it was. And we produced some very, very well-qualified people, some of whom have stayed in the field, thank goodness. But we saw that issue with West Nile, then chikungunya came in, and we thought, oops, we still don't have people trained, and now Zika has come in, and it's the same thing again and again.
What is the latest while we have you on those topics? Obviously there's probably still some issues out there, and I notice you've got some numbers with you, it looks like, but Zika's still out there, chikungunya, West Nile, what are we looking at that way?
They're all still there, they're not going away. There have now been over 5,000 cases in the United States of Zika infections, you know, of Zika disease. Over 200 locally transmitted cases in Florida, as you know, and in Texas. People, same old story, Kathy. People, when they travel to these areas, still have to take the same precautions of trying not to be bitten by mosquitoes. It's a simple truth.
I know Miami in particular actually was there last April, and I knew that they were being pretty cautious there, and I think spraying certain areas of the town were a little bit more off limits than others. Are we getting a handle on this at all?
Well, this is a terrible thing to say, but the more people that are infected, the fewer people there are who are susceptible to this. But we're not at the point where you can ignore that. And obviously, there's a tremendous amount of effort at the moment on trying to develop vaccines. And as I think you know, we have provided Zika virus to a number of places, and we've had collaborations trying to help with the production of new Zika vaccines.
In fact, you've done a lot of research on this. I think even more recently you've gotten some international attention on some of the research being done on that.
Yeah. Collaboration is a key with this type of thing. You know, you can't be an expert on everything. And something like vaccine development takes a whole range of different skills. And so we've been working with other groups. We provided Zika virus for challenge studies. So, you know, we have that capability where we can grow up quite relatively large quantities of viruses under safe, secure conditions quite quickly. And a group called BioQual needed quite a large quantity, half a liter of Zika to do some studies. And so we were able to provide that. And very kindly, they included us on some publications, including one in Nature a couple of weeks ago. So that, tremendous excitement over that.
And I know, you kind of joked around about not, you know, maybe being such the expert I portray you to be, but you have been on a lot of international news networks, there's no doubt. You've been interviewed by how many different groups now? I think BBC and...
Oh yeah, I don't keep count. The CNN. University keeps count, which is good. And I can remember at one point last year I said, I needed some data for something, and they said, yeah, you've had like 150 news stories in the last couple of months. Wow.
And I know you were pretty prominently involved with an international group. Are you still pretty involved with that group? I know you were president, I think, for a while, or right toward the top level.
Mm-hmm. That's right, the American Society of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene, largest and oldest group of its kind in the world of international experts on tropical diseases. But as you've seen, tropical diseases can come here too. And yes, I was president last year. That was very time consuming. And now I'm past president and I'm still having things to do.
Well, I know you continue to travel a lot, I guess in the name of learning new things or sharing some of your knowledge. Or
yes, I was in Singapore 2 weeks ago. I'm part of an international group of experts on dengue virus. And the Singapore government is using a relatively new strategy to control dengue in the country. And that is by using mosquitoes, which are infected with a bacteria called Wolbachia. And that can prevent reproduction, essentially. So they're releasing, or plan to release, male mosquitoes infected with this odd bacteria that when the males mate with uninfected females, they lay sterile eggs. So it's a new way of suppressing the population of mosquitoes. So they've been doing sort of cage field trials, and then they've gone to small trials outside now, releasing these mosquitoes in some selected housing estates, believe it or not, where there have been mosquitoes and potential transmission. And I went there with one person from the United Kingdom, one from Australia, and another one from the United States as their expert panel.
How interesting. So a lot of trips to the Far East of late then is kind of what I'm hearing.
Yes, and China on Friday, going to China for a few days.
Okay. Let's go ahead and take a break. It's now 9:44. And again, Dr. Stephen Higgs with us today, Biosecurity Research Institute Director. And I'm still going to call you an international expert on mosquito-borne viruses, really, is what we could say, because it's a lot more than just Zika. As you mentioned, there's several other things, too. 537-1350 if you have questions or comments. And you're listening to In Focus on News Radio, KMAN.
When catastrophe hits and your home or office is damaged, get 24/7 response.